Mr. O'Brien, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. If we could begin by having you give me an example of an experience you have had that you believe prepares you to be a member of Congress.
Well, I'll tell you, the toughest thing I did when I worked at the Department of Labor was when we had to shut the office down because the Republicans were throwing a temper tantrum and shutting the government down. And I had to go around to staff and decide who was essential and who was non-essential. Everybody was essential, of course, in reality, but it's an exercise we had to go through because the government was shut down for a few days. And I learned what not to do and what to do in order to make government work, and that was one of the things that emphasized what not to do.
What do you think is one thing you can do in Congress to help create jobs here in Iowa?
Well, the first big step that we can accomplish in Congress is raising the minimum wage to $10.10 per hour. That will take 300,000 Iowans out of poverty level. It'll save us $4.6 billion in food stamp SNAP benefits alone because people will no longer have to have government assistance in order to survive. That's the first big step in the right direction, but it's just a first step. We really need a living wage, not just a minimum wage.
Well, that was going to be my next question because a March Iowa poll showed 65% of those polled supporting an increase in the minimum wage. So it sounds like it's got some backing. Do you think it has a realistic chance of actually happening?
I do, because of the number you just cited, Dennis. 65% is a broad support across the political spectrum. People recognize that the economy has recovered since President Obama's come into office, and the wealthiest among us are making a lot of money. And that's fine. Nobody begrudges the wealthy making a lot of money. Work hard, play by the rules, make a lot of money. Here's where we draw the line. If you work hard, play by the rules, and make a lot of money, your employees ought to be paid at least a decent wage, not a minimum wage that requires that they be on public assistance. Walmart's a perfect example. They made $17 billion in profit in 2012, yet they underpaid a significant portion of their workforce such that those folks had to be on Section 8 housing benefits and SNAP benefits in order to survive. It cost taxpayers up to $6 billion per year to subsidize Walmart's workforce. That's insane. We got to stop that.
The proposed changes to the renewable fuel standard seem to signal that the administration may move away from grain-based alternatives to conventional fuels. Now, what would you do, Mr. O'Brien, in Washington to work in a bipartisan manner on energy policy that would benefit Iowans and still have national appeal?
Well, I've had a discussion with Vice President Biden about this issue and asked him to weigh in with the EPA to reverse that position, reducing the renewable fuel standard. But in terms of doing bipartisan effort, we have to reach across lines as member party lines, as members of the Iowa delegation and other states that rely on agricultural products for much of their economic wherewithal. And I'd be happy to do that. We all have to understand that agriculture is such an important part of the Iowa economy and the Midwest economy, and I'd be happy to work with Senator Grassley and other Republicans to make sure that the renewable fuel standard was kept at a higher level and that we are encouraging use of ethanol and other grain-based fuels.
I'm talking to Dave O'Brien. He is a candidate for the Democratic nomination for U.S. House in the 1st Congressional District here in Iowa. Now, the U.S. House has held dozens of votes to either repeal, defund, or otherwise dismantle the Affordable Care Act. Now, the president will not sign legislation repealing, defunding, or dismantling the legislation. But the law remains unpopular, with most polls showing more people opposed to rather than in support of the law. What are your ideas for revising the law or just leaving it alone?
I'm not interested in talking about revising it at all. We got to implement the thing. Right now, it's working in states that are fully implementing Obamacare, and that's what we need to do. Look, after we get past this initial round, anytime you start a big new program like this, there are going to be potholes that we have to overcome. But as long as we keep talking about revising the Affordable Care Act, the Republicans are going to think of that as a euphemism for destroying it, and that's not acceptable to me. Every Iowan, every American deserves the right to health care. And as Democrats, we're going to make sure that happens. I don't want to talk about revising Obamacare. I want to talk about implementing it. And when we get a few years down the line, why, we'll make some necessary tweaks in order to broaden the program and make it more effective.
Mr. O'Brien, you're campaigning to join Congress at a time when the approval ratings of Congress are at some of the lowest points in history, very low approval ratings, hovering in the low to mid-teens in most cases. How did we get to this point?
Well, I'm telling you right now, the Republicans create a monster that's consumed them. The Tea Party people, the ultra-right-wingers that take an absolutely no-compromise view of government, and we've got to stop that. We've got to start electing Democrats, and to the extent that we elect Republicans, it's got to be reasonable Republicans that understand that compromise isn't a dirty word. That's how this country was formed. In our Constitution, we have the Great Compromise and the Three-Fifths Compromise, which was a horrible thing, but a compromise nonetheless. So we have to sit down together and work across party lines. But that starts with people that are willing to work across party lines. And right now we have one party that is just adamant on electing people that won't negotiate, won't compromise, and they think that's a good thing. And it's bad for the country, it's bad for the party, the Republican Party, that is.
In what areas can you imagine compromising with the Republicans to get something accomplished for Iowa?
Well, you know, we have a perfect example with the farm bill that was just recently renewed. I mean, we were 2 years late on our farm bill, and in order to get it done, the Democrats had to accept some cuts in the SNAP benefits, which I think were horrible. But I would have voted for that bill because it's so important to our rural economy to have a farm bill in place so our farmers can plan for next month and next year and future years. And that's a compromise that I would have accepted. I wouldn't have liked it, but I would have accepted it.
Nearly every candidate running for office says they want to cut government waste and bring down the deficit. Could you name a program or department that you would be willing to cut, and why would you be willing to cut it?
Well, I don't know that I'd be willing to cut any of the government departments. I certainly would look for waste, fraud, and abuse anywhere in the government. I will tell you this. We've looked at the domestic side of the budget for the last 6 or 8 years for cuts, and the Republicans have made sure that happens. So I'd be hard-pressed to find a program that hasn't been cut by Republicans' efforts to reduce the safety net in this country and to try to balance the budget on the backs of the middle class. But if any Republican wants to sit down and look for waste, fraud, and abuse in the government, I'm happy to do that. I only ask one thing in return. We apply that same standard to the defense side of the budget, because I can tell you right now, there is plenty of waste, fraud, and abuse on the defense side of the budget, and that's where we should be focusing our attention when we're talking about budget cutting.
So you're implying we're spending too much on national defense?
Well, we're spending unwisely on national defense in many ways. We're buying weapon systems that we don't need and that the military doesn't want. We're not spending some money on things we need, like personal protective equipment for individual servicemen and women, and making sure that they have proper training. I mean, we have to understand that we have new threats in this world, and those threats are not going to be taken by rolling in an army with a bunch of tanks and artillery. We need smart people, multilingual people. We need people in the military that can go into a situation and defuse it with their intellect, not just their muscle and their weapons.
Mr. O'Brien, immigration reform is an important issue to Iowa, but is, of course, stalled in Congress. What immigration reforms would you support?
I absolutely support the DREAM Act. It's a big step in the right direction. Of course, it only covers minor children who came to this country illegally, but as minors, and it gives them an opportunity to earn permanent residency status. But I have to say, that's the first step. We need comprehensive immigration reform. I'm all for protecting our borders, but we need to recognize why people are coming into this country. We are a hope to people around the world. We have to understand why that hope is so attractive to them. People that are here illegally should have an opportunity to earn, and I put an emphasis on earn. I'm not talking about amnesty here. I'm talking about earn, paying back, making right the wrong that they did, and earning the right to be permanent residents, earning the right to citizenship.
And finally, according to figures from NASA, 97% of climate scientists agree that climate warming trends over the past century are very likely due to human activities. And most of the leading scientific organizations worldwide have issued public statements endorsing this petition. First of all, do you believe the science?
Absolutely, Dennis. I was going to say, you know, you'd get that question to Republicans, and the fact that some of them would not accept it is just ridiculous and part of the problem that we have today. The science is 99.9% there. Anybody who doesn't believe it is just denying reality.
And should government act on this issue?
Absolutely. Our environment is going to be unstable within 35 short years. That means to your listeners out there, if we don't do something today, our children and grandchildren will live in an environment that's unsustainable, and it'll be way too late to do anything about it 35 years from now. When all the Fox News listeners out there that have been misinformed about global climate change wake up and realize it's too hot and we have to do something about it, it'll be too late. So we have to just roll right past these climate change deniers. And we have to put in place a carbon tax that will raise the cost of burning fossil fuels to the point that there'll be a sufficient incentive to avoid burning those fossil fuels. And then we can emphasize solar, wind, biomass, and other things. And we can lessen the cost of that carbon tax on the American public by rebating 100% of it back to the people so that hardworking families who are right now undertaking difficult economic times will not be burdened with the tax.
Mr. O'Brien, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm very glad to have it, and thank you to be here, and thank you for the opportunity.